This shiur has a dual dedication to Imi Mayrosi Bela Dereja Bas Baruch Halevi, who was Niftara on the 5th of Shvat, 5758, and also as a refuah shlema for her great-granddaughter, a lovely 2-year-old, Miriam Edel Bas Saramalka. Miriam has been diagnosed with a very poor prognosis, acute leukemia. She's currently in remission, but she needs to hold on to that remission for at least the next several years to be confident that she is indeed cured. And we hope, of course, Ad Me'ev Esrim Shana. My mother, Aleha Ashalom, was a very smart woman and generally made good choices. She also was someone who was full of love. Boy, was Mom full of love. May her great-granddaughter follow in her footsteps. Good day, Rabbi Sai. My name is Barry Yaffe, and I would like to welcome you to this morning's shiur, Tehillim 19 and the Essence of Simchas Torah, Part 2, Defining the Format and Structure of Birchas Kriya Shema. So the first thing I'm going to ask you is, don't touch that button, in spite of what I'm going to say right now, which is that this is actually the fourth in a series of shiurim. 3 of them are audios, 1 of them is a short written piece. So it, in essence, forms a tetralogy of related shiurim. You don't have to go back and listen or read the antecedent shiurim. I'll tell you what you need to know here. But at the same time, I would encourage you to do so, especially if you like what you hear here, because those other 3 shiurim will introduce their own kiddushim and flesh out your appreciation of this whole subject a lot. So listen on, please. There is an attached PDF document that will contain all of the text that you need to follow along, in which the words that I wish to emphasize are highlighted in some fashion, and the shemos have been removed from it, so you do not have to dispose of it in shemos, although it should be disposed of respectfully. What I'm going to convince you of today is that the first 2 brachas of Kriya Shema, from Baruch Hu through Kriya Shema itself, both in Shacharis and in Ma'ariv, are structured along the same format as Kapitel Yud Tes, Hashemayim Misaprim Kavod Kel. And I think it's highly likely that that kapitel actually served as the template for this whole section of the davening. I hate to let the cat out of the bag right at the beginning of the shiur, but I'd like to convince you early on that there is fire underneath the smoke here and that I'm not just full of hoo-ha. So what I would do is call your attention to the first paragraph of the daily davening in Shacharis, to the paragraph that contains the ABCDarian line, which is an alphabetic phrase where the first word starts with an aleph and the second word starts with a bays, etc. That is, Kel Baruch Gedol Dea Hechen Ufo'al Zoharei Chama Tov Yotzar Kavod Lishmo Me'oros Nosan Tzivivos Uzo Pinos Tzvav Kedoshim Remem Meishakai Tomid Misaprim Kavod Kel Ukdushoso. Now, the alphabetic part of this ends with Tomid, the tough word, the last letter of the alphabet. But if you will notice, after the Tomid comes a phrase, Misaprim Kavod Kel Ukdushoso. Well, Misaprim Kavod Kel is the second pasuk of Lamnatzeach Mizmor LeDavid, Hashamayim Misaprim Kavod Kel Umaaseh Yadav Magid HaRakia. So Ezra HaSofer, who actually constructed this section of the davening, very neatly slips in a phrase that should clue you in immediately. Now, Rabbi Sai, I'm going to ask you, be honest. How many times have you said this as part of your davening and not really noticed or paid any attention to the idea that these 3 words were here and therefore it made an association with Kapitel 19? Don't feel bad. Chazal, and specifically Ezra HaSofer, were sneaky, and it is intentional. It's not meant to be immediately obvious. It's sort of like The Purloined Letter, a short story by Edgar Allan Poe. The plot of The Purloined Letter is that there was a stolen letter that was extremely valuable, and they knew who the likely crook was, and the police searched his apartment and couldn't find it, focusing on all the hidden places, yet the clever detective hero correctly discerns that this letter is placed out in plain sight on the mantelpiece with some other correspondence, and he detects it. So here Ezra does the same thing. He puts these 3 words in plain sight right in front of your eyes, but he disguises it. How does he disguise it? He puts it at the end of an alphabetic phrase, but the phrase itself continues on past the tough, which finishes off the alphabetic sequence. So it's read as Tamid Misaprim Kvod Kel Ukdushaso. Not only does he put another word that doesn't belong there in front of the Misaprim Kvod Kel, he puts another word that doesn't belong there in back of the Misaprim Kvod Kel. So the whole thing is embedded in a sandwich of words that don't belong, and then it's in plain sight, but you don't see it. It's invisible. That is cool. There is a very similar literary trick in Ma'ariv that I will show you when we get to Ma'ariv. It's a little more derivative and not quite as evident, but I think it's there. If I've piqued your interest that there is, in fact, a hidden pattern here, let's develop the idea. Why is it there? Well, the first thing to do is to take a look at the structure of Kapitel 19, Hashamai Misaprim Kvod Kel. As you can see, it divides into two major sections, and maybe one or a couple of sections at the very end. But let's focus on the two major sections. The first half of this kapitel, until Pasuk 7, is all about the heavens and the sun. It is a nature hike, right? We're outside, looking at the magnificent vault of the heavens. Okay, all that blue expanse of sky, and the sun right smack in the middle of it, too bright to look at directly, don't look at it, but you can see how powerful it is, and you can feel its heat against your face. There's no question, this is an awesome force, our sun. And every day, it rises, it shines, and it sets. And so it sets up a natural cycle of day to night, night to day. Look at the third pasuk. The poetic metaphor is just gorgeous. Yom liyom, yabia omer, one day to the next, erupts with speech, with utterance. V'layla l'layla yechaved o'as, and night to night keeps alive knowledge. Ein omer v'ein devarim b'li nishma kolam. No words, nothing you can hear, but you can observe the heavens and day and night speaking to each other, singing to each other. There's a handoff from day to day between all these moving parts, just by virtue of the fact that they are doing their jobs exactly as HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded them. They are singing a wordless song. There's a reason why I'm emphasizing the poetry here, because I'm going to show you that in the davening, the same kind of literary flourish is present there as well. But before we do that, let's take at least a brief look at the second half of Kapitel Yud Tes. That starts with the eighth pasuk, and it starts with Toras Hashem Temimim Mishivas Nofesh, Eidos Hashem Ne'amona Machimas Pesi. All of a sudden, we're done with the nature hike, and now we're sitting in the Beis Medrash, aren't we? We're talking about the Torah of Hashem, and we're going to be mentioning six categories of teachings from the Torah. There's Torah, which is complete. There's Eidos, which is trustworthy. There's Pikudim, which are straight. There's Mitzvah, which is bright. There's Yira, which is pure. And there are Mishpatim, which are true. Incidentally, those are the same six categories of aspects of Torah that form the refrain throughout Kapitel 119, which is the longest kapitel in all of Tehillim. And the last four psukim continue the same general train of thought, except that they switch from extolling the positives of Hashem's commandments to a wish to avoid the negatives of not performing them, and hence the desire to avoid averos. The last pasuk ends with a plea that ultimately the speaker and his thoughts are consonant with those of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yiyu l'ratzon imrei fi v'hegyon libi l'fanecho Hashem tzoriv goali. I won't say that this is not poetic, but there is unquestionably a dramatic change between the first half and the second half. This is entirely focused not on the natural world, but on the spiritual world. All of the Mefarshim comment on this, and all of them have something to say about it, and that's covered in much more depth in part one of this talk. Now we're going to switch from the kapitel to the davening, to the first two brachas of Kriyat Shema, Shacharis, and Ma'ariv, and I'll show you that the same pattern of content and, to some degree, literary style exists in the davening as well. And I hope to show you that the first half of the kapitel is what's embedded in the first bracha of Kriyat Shema, and the second half of the kapitel is embedded within the second bracha of Kriyat Shema. When you think about it, it's actually a very logical model to use Kapitel 19, Hashamayim Misaprim Kvod Kel, as a template for these two brachas. The first bracha is all about the passage of time. It is about the change in the status of the day that now obligates one to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because day has turned into night, or night into day. Light has become darkness, or darkness transforms to light. The second bracha is all about what we need to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is our avoda of this particular zman? So, Kapitel 19 is a great template. Let's look at it specifically. We said previously that the first half of the kapitel corresponds to the first bracha of Kriya Shema. That's true not only in terms of content of the passage of time and the behavior of the sun, but it's also true in terms of the literary style. The lyrical flourish that the kapitel has, I think, is more evident in the first bracha of Kriya Shema. Where is that flourish? Well, it starts off, at least in the daily davening, with a pasuk quoted from another kapitel, Kapitel 104. Morabu ma'asech Hashem, kulam b'chochma asisa malah aretz kinyonecha. There's a sense of all-encompassing majesty about that pasuk, a sense of awe. Morabu can be understood two ways. It can be understood in terms of how numerous are your works, Hashem, or how great are your works. All of them constructed with incredible wisdom, filling up the world with your possessions. The flourish continues with that ABCDarian line in the daily davening, or with the obviously poetic song of Kel Adon al Kol HaMasim on Shabbos. Kel Baruch, listen to the poetry. The blessed, powerful one, great in knowledge, provides a foundation and makes the rays of the sun. With goodness, he fashions glory for his name. The light makers place around him his power. The leaders of his holy hosts, the ones who extol Shakai continually, they tell the story of the glory of the powerful one and his holiness. Hashem, our Lord, should bless himself upon the praise of the work of his hands. You see, the sun is praising him by doing its job. The heavens are praising him by doing their job. The Alma Arei Arsha Asisa, and on the light givers that you made, you should be glorified. Selah. That's quite poetic. Now, at this point in the Shacharis davening, the topic undergoes a digression. It moves from the discussion of light and dark and the sun, which is functionally considered to be an agent of God, a malach, to the Malachei Hashores, who utter Kedusha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that extends over the next four paragraphs or so. That digression is not there in the Ma'ariv Davening, and it's also not there in Hashemayim Misaprim Kvod Kel. But following the end of the first bracha of Kriya Shema in the Shacharis Davening, which ends at Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer HaMe'oros, then the second bracha of Kriya Shema picks up with the next paragraph of the Davening and extends from Ahava Rabba until HaBocher Bama Yisrael B'Yahava. The logic of that digression, as well as a whole lot of other stuff, a whole lot, is discussed in much greater detail in the sister shiur to this one, The Answer to Life, the Universe, and Everything, Part 2, and a discussion of why this universe was even created in the first place is the subject of Part 1. Those two shiurim do most of the heavy lifting in this entire discussion. This shiur really only covers the source of the format for these two brachos. Getting back to the Shacharis davening, the first bracha of Kriya Shema finishes off with Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer HaMe'oros, and that leads us directly to the second bracha of Kriya Shema, Ahava Rabba, or in Nusach Sfard, Ahavas Olam. You notice immediately the change in character and, to some degree, in poetic style with the onset of the second bracha. It has nothing to do with the sun, with the passage of time, and it has everything to do with the desire to learn, perform, and integrate mitzvahs and Torah into one's life, and with the relationship that we wish HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have with us, and that we want to have with him. Without belaboring the point, this paragraph reflects the abrupt shift in both subject matter and style between the first half and the second half of Kapitel 19, HaShemayim Misaprim Kavod Kel. Okay, now we're going to switch to Ma'ariv, and since you're familiar with the drill from Shacharis, this will go quite quickly. The text of the first two brachas of Maariv is on your text document, Nusach Hashanaz. Again, we have two brachas. The first one will correspond to the first half of Hashemayim Misaprim Kvod Kel, and the second one will correlate to the second half of Hashemayim Misaprim Kvod Kel. First, we'll take it from the standpoint of subject matter, and then we'll take it from the standpoint of style. Subject matter of the first bracha is the change and the zman, isn't it? It is all about how light is exchanged for darkness. Well, that corresponds to the actions of the sun in the first half of Hashemayim Misaprim Kvod Kel. The sun has now set, and so now there is a chiyuv to say Maariv. The second paragraph is all about Torah and mitzvot, chukim mishpatim, just like it says. It also prepares us for saying Kriya Shema at night, because it brings up the idea that we are required to study Torah b'shachvenu uv'kumenu, or as it says in Shema, u'v'shachbecha uv'kumecha, when we lie down and when we get up. Well, now it's almost time to lie down. So this is the Kriya Shema of Arvis, of Maariv. And so this corresponds to the second half of Hashemayim Misaprim Kvod Kel, which is all about Torah and mitzvos. Stylistically, I think it is much clearer to see the lyrical nature of the first bracha here than it is even in Shacharis. The bracha starts off with the idea that the world, bidvaro, at his word, ma'ariv aravim, it mixes the evenings. Erev means a mixture, as in an erov around a community. And so here, this is the time of the mixing of light with dark. Erev can also mean to sweeten, as in v'harev na, that we actually use in the Birchas HaTorah in the morning, that Hashem should make sweet the Torah upon our mouths. Next, we have the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is poseach she'arim. He opens up gates. Well, there's no physical gate here. This is clearly a poetic metaphor for the passage of time and a change in the status of the day. We have the very poetic language of Hashem being Mishane Itim. He changes the times of day. The shorish of Mishane is Shana, which implies a repetitive process. Mishnah are teachings that we should learn over and over and over again. Shana is a repeating cycle of a year. That jibes very nicely with the thesis that we proposed in part one of this shir, that the repetitive and continuous nature of the sun's movements is a paradigm for how we should also learn Torah over and over and over again. U'machalif es hazmanim, and he exchanges intervals. Look at the next line. Bara yom v'layla golel or mipnei choshech v'choshech mipnei or. This is very lyrical. He rolls light from before the darkness, and darkness from before the light. U'ma'avir yom, and he causes the day to pass. U'mevi laila, and he brings on the night. So you have this grand sense of the music of the spheres, almost. You have this sense of movement, of rotation. Indeed, what causes nightfall is indeed the rotation of the spherical earth. I'm not sure whether or not that concept was known at the time that Ezra coined this davening, but boy, does it fit. And even more importantly, it fits with the very lyrical nature of Hashemayim Misaprim Kvod Kel. The language of the kapitel is Yom liyom yabia omer v'layla l'layla yichaveh do'as. One day to the next day erupts utterances, and one night to the next night enlivens understanding. That's almost the same idiom. A little later in Hashemayim Misaprim Kvod Kel, we have the image of the sun as a long-distance runner, a champion athlete who encircles the track over and over and over again. The sun makes circuits, tkufaso, makes hakofos. So again, you have this concept of a repetitive or a circular motion. That's something we emphasized a great deal in part one of this year, as reflective of the way that we should be learning Torah, repetitively, continuously. So very clearly, stylistically, this corresponds very nicely to the first half of Hashemayim Misaprim Kvod Kel. Moving on to the second bracha of Kriya Shema, Avas Olam, the first thing we notice is that just like with the second bracha of Kriya Shema for Shacharis, we are now talking about love, and specifically God's love for us in giving us the Torah and mitzvos. the concept of love is totally absent from the first bracha of Ma'ariv. Those were points that were emphasized in the sister to this shiur, part two of Life, the Universe, and Everything. And finally, the last point that I'd like to discuss about the second bracha of Ma'ariv is, I think, a very important point because it validates one of the diukim that we proposed in part one of this shiur. Notice the phrase in the davening of Uvahem Nege Yomam Valayla. That phrase is a paraphrase from a pasuk in Perek Aleph of Yehoshua, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was reassuring Yehoshua that he is quite adequate for the task of leading Klal Yisrael in Moshe's place. Hashem reassures him by telling him it does not depend on Yehoshua as a person, but rather it depends on Yehoshua leading Klal Yisrael in the same derech as Moshe did, and specifically that as long as they learn Torah continuously, day and night, they will be assured of success. The pasuk is the eighth pasuk of the first perek. Lo yomush sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha. This book of the Torah should not move away from your mouth. And here's the important phrase: v'hagisa bo yomam v'laila. And you should meditate in it every day and night. V'hagisa bo yomam v'laila. Listen to that. That is a paraphrase of Uvahem nege yomam v'layla that we have in the Ma'ariv bracha, correct? And in particular, I draw your attention to the word nege. Nege, the shorish is haga, and that's the same shorish as in v'hagisa. And the importance of that shorish is this is the first time in all of Tanakh that that shorish appears. It does not appear a single time in Chumash. And we made the point in part one that that same word was borrowed in Hashemayim Misaprim Kavod Kel in the last pasuk, Yiyu l'ratzon imrefi v'hegyon libi l'fonecho Hashem tzuri v'goali. Hegyon, the shorish is hagah. So that word hegyon is borrowed from this pasuk in Yehoshua, which is paraphrased in the second bracha of Kriya Shema. That ties together all three sections. Hashemayim Misaprim Kavod Kel, the first Perek of Yehoshua, and the second bracha of the Ma'ariv davening. Moreover, we also made the point in part one that the second part of that phrase, v'hagisa bo yomam v'loila, ties together the second half of Hashemayim Misaprim Kavod Kel regarding the learning of Torah, which is what we are supposed to be nege, with the first half of Hashemayim Misaprim Kavod Kel, which is the movement of the sun and the interplay between Yom and Laila. And Yomam V'Laila emphasizes the repetitive nature of that process. Yomam, day after day after day, and the intervening nights. In summary, we have now completed the exercise of showing that the format of Kapitel 19, Hashemayim Misaprim Kavod Kel, is copied by the format of the first two brachas of Kriya Shema, both in Shacharis and in Ma'ariv. And in particular, the first half of Hashemayim Misaprim Kavod Kel, which is all about the repetitive and circular, cyclical movement of the sun and the passage of day and night, is reflected in the first bracha of Kriya Shema, and the approach to the study of Torah, which should also be repetitive and continuous, in the second half of Hashemayim Misaprim Kavod Kel, is reflected by the second bracha of Kriya Shema. What this shiur accomplishes is it extends the message that was developed in part one. In part one, we related Hashemayim Misaprim Kavod Kel specifically to Simchas Torah, and here we show that in fact, it extends into every single day of the year, and in fact, throughout the entirety of every single day of the year. And the message is, just like the sun never rests, day after day after day, it does its job with great faithfulness. That's the job of the sun. But the job of man is to approach the study of Torah and the performance of mitzvos in a very similar manner every single day, with dedication and faithfulness, just like the sun. This completes a unit of four separate shiurim, each one of which is independent, and yet they interface in a way that brings everything together into one nice package. In each of these shurim, there is a contrast or a comparison between two aspects of creation, two different worlds. A component of creation which is, if you will, on high, either up in the spiritual Shamayim, a place that is populated by Malachim, who have their job to do, or in the heavens that you and I can view, which is populated by the sun and the moon and the stars, and have their jobs to do. And then the contrast is the world of man, who has his job to do, an entirely separate purpose. His job is to choose and to love, and to come to love God. And it's a very separate purpose than that of the heavenly inhabitants. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one creator of both worlds, and both worlds join together in the service of that one universal creator. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. For some odd reason, I'm reminded of the old 1980s TV serial, Hill Street Blues, a police drama. At the beginning of every segment, Sergeant Phil Esterhaus would brief his cops as a group before he assigned them their individual beats for their daily duty. His last words at the end of every briefing, a warning. Hey, let's be careful out there. The life of a cop is a dangerous life. He's called upon to make important decisions throughout his entire day. You and I also have our jobs. What we suggested in part one of Life, the Universe, and Everything is that our job is to exercise our bechira, to make choices, to make decisions. And it's a treacherous world. We are called upon to use our bechira hundreds of times a day, most of the time in little ways, sometimes in really big ways. And it's a treacherous world. It's important for us to choose wisely. So I would give you the same warning as Sergeant Esterhaus gave his cops. Rabbi Sai, let's be careful out there.